Hey, I'm Steve Gambrill, and I'm thrilled that we have this time together. I pray that God would help you to understand how great He is and how great His plan is for your life. Come on, let's enjoy God together.
I hope that your heart is open and expectant for what God's going to do, because over this month, I believe we're going to see huge progress in all of our lives if we'll apply the Word of God. I believe that there'll be miracles, signs, and breakthroughs follow the behavior that we're asking us to adapt and to adjust this month. If we get on board with what this Word is all about, I believe there will be progress in areas where maybe you've been stuck for a long time. And so I know you want to know, what is it we're going to be talking about through the month of November? Well, we're calling the month of November this: We Say Thank You. I know it sounds simple, but I'm telling you, we have reduced thankfulness to something that is just like manners or politeness. And we have started to use our thank yous in a way that are more reactive than they are active. And I want us this month to understand that your gratitude is a grenade. It is literally a grenade that you get to throw into the enemy's camp, and you get to destroy his plans to keep you in this place of apathy and dissatisfaction and disappointment. Because when gratitude gets loose in your life, everything changes. You begin to see things differently. You begin to speak differently. You begin to walk differently. You begin to believe differently. And so this word thank you that we say maybe, you know, many times in a day, we say thank you for someone that brings us a coffee or serves us something or does something. But I want us to take it from that area where we just say it almost without thinking about it and lift it to the level that it deserves to be lifted to, and actually make us realize all over again, no, our gratitude is a power. Our appreciation is something that has so much attached to it. And if we could lift our thankfulness in the month of November, if we could lift our ability to realize how powerful giving thanks is, what will we see happen as a result? So my title for the message this morning as we kick this series off is Fill Your Tank with Thanks. Yes, fill your tank with thanks. You know, I remember quite a few years back now watching the news when there was a fuel crisis in the UK. I remember watching the scenes of all of these vehicles that were lining up for miles, hopeful to get into the nearest gas station that still had petrol left in its pumps. So many had shut down because the petrol hadn't made it onto the forecourt. And so people were literally driving to the next place where they knew there was some petrol left, desperate to get the fuel in their vehicle, realizing without that fuel, I can't go do my job. I can't get where I need to be. And there were scenes on the news of vehicles that were abandoned at the side of the road. Places where just people had to get out of their car because there was no petrol left in the tank and they couldn't go any further. The car was fine, the engine was fine, the wheels were fine, but it was immobilized because there was no fuel in the tank. I believe that's what it's like to have a life that is full of gratitude. When we lose gratitude, we become immobilized in ways that maybe we don't realize. We stop believing, we stop praying, we stop expecting, we stop thanking, we stop worshiping. When our gratitude runs low, then everything about our life begins to come to a halt. Gratitude is fuel to your faith. Gratitude helps you keep moving where others park up and stop moving. And I don't want us to have a fuel crisis of thanksgiving in our church or in our lives. I want us actually to take this whole month and fill our tank with thanks. And so I want to help us today do that by going to the Word and looking at some things that maybe are responsible for draining your tank. Looking at some things that maybe are siphoning off the energy that Thanksgiving wants to bring to your life. And so I hope you're ready to write a few of these things down so that you can move on from today and begin to actually fill your own tank up. See, some of us, we rely on everyone else to fill our tank up. But this month, I want you to take responsibility and say, no, I'm going to fill my tank with thanks. I'm going to take responsibility that I do have a life that is grateful. I want to take responsibility that I do have actions that show appreciation. And in order to do that, the first thing you might have to do is this. You need to lose the leech. Yes, you heard me right. Lose the leech. What's a leech? Those little things, you know, those horrible, ugly looking, I don't know, are they insects? I have no idea. They look like a slug. They attach themselves to people and they suck the blood out of people. Yes, those gross things. You know, the Bible refers to a leech. And it says this in Proverbs 30, verse 15. And I want to read it to you because I believe this is one of the ways that we end up being drained of thanksgiving. It says, a leech has twin daughters named Give Me and Give Me More. Three things are never satisfied. There are four that never say, that's enough, that never say, thank you. So there's four things like leeches that can attach to our life that mean we never say we have enough and we never say thank you because we always feel there's something missing. What are those four things? It says, number one, there's hell itself, a barren womb, a parched land, and a forest fire. I want to think about those with you for the next few moments because maybe one of these leeches has latched onto your life and you didn't realize it. Maybe one of those leeches is somewhere in your thinking, in your heart, and it is literally siphoning the fuel of gratitude from your soul. It is literally lifting away from you those words of appreciation. And it's the leech that says, it's never enough. It's a leech that says, you know, I'm never going to give thanks because I don't have all that I want yet. Let's look at those leeches. It says one of them is hell, one of them is evil, one of them is darkness. You know, darkness is a leech that wants to suck the life out of you. Evil is a leech that wants to remove all the light that is within you. And when we allow that leech to latch onto our life, it drains our tank dry. Sin will keep you always looking for more. Sin will never satisfy you. It is a leech on your life that removes from you your thanksgiving. It talks about a barren womb, you know, a barren situation when there's something in your life that you're longing for. Maybe for you, you're longing for a relationship. Maybe you're longing for an opportunity. Maybe in an area of your life, you say, I just feel barren in that area. Barrenness, it says, is that leech that never has enough, that never says thank you. Why? Because it's that unfulfilled desire. You know, we went, my husband and I, through a season where we literally were barren. My womb was barren. And so I understand this analogy maybe more than most people because that barren womb, it desires to carry that child. And if you're not careful, what happens? That leech attaches to you and all you see is what you do not have. And you fail to see what you do have. That's how the leech works. It gets your attention off the things that you should be giving thanks for and it puts all your attention on the thing that you feel you are not satisfied in. That area of barrenness, it could be your singleness, it could be an area where you feel, God, I thought by now I'd be married, or I thought by now I'd have children, or I thought by now. And an area of barrenness becomes a leech to our thanksgiving. And that's why we have to identify if that leech is attached to our life. What about the desert, the parched land that it mentions? That's a land where rain falls, but it's never enough. The rain that falls just disappears into the cracks. That picture is like a leech that comes to our life that says, you know, you'll never have enough of that appreciation. You can never have enough of that approval. You can never have enough of that love. You always want more. You're looking for more. That part of you that is just not satisfied, no matter how much you feel you've received, you always feel you need more so that you can be more. It's a leech on our life. Maybe it's a leech of insecurity that is looking for things that actually, if we would just realize whose we are, we'd find that sense of affirmation that we're searching in all the wrong places for. Or maybe it says it's like a fire. A leech is like a fire that attaches to your life and it never has enough and it always wants to consume more. You know, that could look like greed, or it could look like lust, or it could look like just a striving for our desires and a wanting for all those things. I remember walking with my family not so long ago, and as we walked over the tops of the hills near where we live, we came around the corner to a massive scene where people were freaking out because there was a fire in the woods, and that fire would not stop. It was catching hold of every dry branch, it was catching hold of every piece of grass, and it was out of control. And you know, that fire went on for days and it did massive devastation, and it took hundreds of people coming together to put out that flame. I'm telling you, sometimes that leech of greed or that leech of want that can attach to our life, it starts to consume everything around us. We become consumed by it and it never has enough and it's never satisfied. But the good news is you can detach that leech from your life so that it stops siphoning off the tank of thanks that you have. You can detach that leech from your life. You know, actually in the natural, funnily enough, three times it took me to say that. But in the natural, you can kill a leech with salt. Did you know that? I know, the things that preachers go and study for a message, but you can kill a leech with salt. Well, we are the salt and we are the light, people. So we can take that leech off our life. We can unlatch the leech. And how we do that is by remembering to be grateful. Listen, when hell itself comes against you, the Bible says we overcome. We overcome darkness. We overcome the enemy. How? By the power of his blood and by the power of our testimony. What's a testimony? It's we say thank you. A testimony is thank you, God, you set me free. A testimony is thank you, God, you delivered me. You want to get that leech off your life? Begin to thank God that he is bigger than the darkness, that he is greater than the sin that seeks to come and siphon that thing off your life. What about barrenness? The Bible says, sing, O barren woman, burst into song, you that don't have a child. What's it saying? It's saying you can focus on what you don't have, or you can focus on what you do have. And in your thankfulness and in your rejoicing and in your singing, you begin to do something inside of your life that begins to bring life to your life. So in an area where there's a leech that makes you feel, I have so much barrenness, I have nothing to give thanks for, pull that off your life by beginning to sing and praise God. Fill your tank with thanks. What about that area where you're never satisfied, where you're always thirsty like that parched land? You need to remind yourself, I have living waters. There are living waters that can bring me what nothing else can bring me. And begin to thank God for the living water he is in your life. What about that fire, that greed, that jealousy, that envy that can begin to make us so ungrateful and so wanting more all the time, never satisfied? Well, you have to remind yourself, he is the all-consuming fire, that he actually is the one that can consume you, can consume me. And in that place, we find safety. And in that place, we find fullness. Listen, don't let the leech attach to your life. And if it does, begin to attack the leech. Don't just leave it and go, oh, well, it's no big deal. It's only little. No, detach it from your life. Begin to attack it with the salt of God's word, with the truth of his word, and with our gratitude of all God did. I remember when we were barren, I remember us turning it around and beginning to throw baby shower parties for people that were pregnant. Instead of being envious of what they had, we began to say, thank you, God, that you bless them. Thank you, God, that you're increasing their family. And you know what? Everything about our life changed. We went from those that were withdrawn to those that were open again, those that were closed off with disappointment to those that were expectant again with faith. I'm telling you, in these areas where we allow those leeches to attach, whether it's envy or jealousy or greed or just this sense of I need more, we have to be willing to lose the leech so we can fill our tank with thanks. Secondly, I want us to go on a mission over these next few weeks that we have together on this theme. Go on a mission where every day, you're going to check your fuel gauge. You know, I discovered that that little light that flashes on my dashboard that has a picture of a petrol pump is not there to make my dashboard look pretty. It's actually there to tell me something. It's actually there to let me know you have let this thing get way too low. You have let the level come way too low. And it's letting me know you need to go and fuel up. You know, all of us in our life, we have a gauge that we need to keep checking. What does it look like, my gauge right now? How full is my tank of thanks? And we need to come before God and we need to check our gauge. Because I think sometimes what we think is, well, you know, I'll just run it right the way down and I'll save myself some money. You know, I'll run the car on fumes because I can't really afford to put the fuel in right now. Well, you know, if you run a car on fumes, you're not saving money. You're costing yourself money. because it's more dangerous to let the engine run on fumes than it is for you to go and fill that tank up. And maybe sometimes we're like that in the natural. Maybe we let our life run on fumes. Maybe we're saving our thanks for something big that we feel deserves it. Oh, well, when that happens, well, then I'll be thankful. Well, when that happens, then I'll be really grateful. No, you don't save your thanks. You give thanks daily. Why? Because as you give and as you express your thanks, you fill your tank up. And so we've got to learn how to check our gauge. What's your gauge look like? Maybe you need to elbow someone next to you right now and say, hey, how's my gauge look? Maybe they're going to tell you something that you're not quite ready to hear. I don't know. Especially that husband and wife situation. Maybe like our gauge needs a little work. But honestly, all of us, we have to do an assessment of how full is my tank. And we've got to look at the gauge on our lives. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 in the Message. It says, be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time and thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. I think that's pretty clear. What's God saying? He said, no matter what, your gratitude should be full. No matter what, your tank should be full of thanks. This is the way that God wants us to live. So how do we make sure that every day we're keeping our tank full, we're checking our gauge? Well, the Bible says also in Psalm 100, enter his gates, enter with the password thank you. Make yourselves at home, talking about and praising him, thank him, worship him. It's letting us know at the beginning, at the entrance point, that's where our thanks begins. Not further into the day, not at the end of something great happening, but we've got to enter. Our entrance should be filled with thanks. How does your entrance look into your day? Is it with thanksgiving? Do you get out of bed and say, thank you, God, for today? I know it might sound simple, but honestly, church, that's how we begin to fill our tank with thanks. Or did you get out of bed this morning and say, oh, I have to go to church. Oh, I have to go and do so-and-so. I don't know what our confession is, but I'm letting you know whenever we have that confession, it's showing us where the gauge of gratitude is in our life. It says in Colossians 3 verse 15 that we should cultivate thankfulness. Cultivate, grow it. Make sure that it has life within us. Make sure that we're tending to our thankfulness. Make sure that we're making sure it's increasing in our life. That our job is to make sure that we are checking our gauge and we are fueling our lives with thanks. Let me give you a little pointer of how I've discovered you can do this so easily. I call it the power of mention. Power of mention. Whatever you mention on a regular basis, you give power to. Think about it. Maybe what you mention on a regular basis is the person that hurt you. Every time you do, you add more power to that situation. The power of mention, maybe you're mentioning all the time what you don't have. And every time you do that, you add more power to the sense of, I don't have what I need, I don't have enough, I feel let down. You're giving power to it. The power of mention. So what if we learn how to use that for our good and we use the power of mention to talk about the things that we are so grateful for? You know, I've seen this operate in my kids' world recently because their school has a system where they text the parents if the child has done anything that they want to mention to you was exceptional, was great, not bad stuff, good stuff. And when our phone beeps with this particular number, we always open it straight away because we know somebody in the school is letting us know that they're having the power of mention to say, hey, Noah did great in this area. Hey, Hope was exceptional today in class. It's a powerful principle. When I read it, the power of mention makes me grateful. And when my kids hear it, it makes them feel grateful. There's the power of mention. What are you mentioning? It says this in 1 Thessalonians 1:2-3. It says, as Paul writes to the church, we always thank God for all of you and we continually mention you in our prayers. He's letting them know, I don't just thank God for you. I mention why I'm thankful. I mention you by name. There is a power in what we choose to mention. And so I wonder what that would look like in your marriage. If you said, you know, we say thank you in our marriage. We mention in our marriage the things that we are grateful for. We mention about one another. We individually mention the things that we're so thankful that God has given us. We mention about our children the good things that we appreciate. What if the power of mention moved to those areas where we are just grateful? I'm telling you, your gauge would go from empty to full in a heartbeat. You'd realize, man, I have so many things to be grateful for. I can count my blessings over and over. The Bible tells us that we should be grateful in our giving, grateful in our actions, grateful in our words. Let's make sure our gauge is fully filled up with gratitude. It's our personal responsibility. It's not your family's, it's not the people around you. It starts with you taking the engine, taking the tank of your life and going and saying, I'm going to fill it up with thanks. Start your day with thanksgiving. And if you didn't start today with thanksgiving, you have time left now to put that right. Start in your relationships with words that express your gratitude. Start your work with gratitude. Start not complaining, but saying thank you. And it will change what comes next. And when you put your head on the pillow tonight, when you lay down and you might have all things going on and things that are not solved and questions that you still have, but I challenge you that when you put your head on the pillow, the last thing that you say is, thank you, God, for another day. Thank you for the breath in my lungs. Thank you, God, that you're with me. Thank you, God, that you watch over me as I sleep. Thank you, God, for your provision and your grace that is new in the morning. Check your gauge and begin to fill your tank with thanks. Finally, let's become the station in our location. You know, when I am running low on petrol, I put into my Google Maps and I ask it where the nearest petrol station is. Where's the nearest gas station? And up it pops, tells me it's a mile this way or 3 miles that way. I would love that the church would be the nearest location on everybody's maps. That when they're looking for a place that uplifts them, are looking for a place where there's a people that are grateful, where they're looking for a place where they hear the sound of thanksgiving, that up on the radar pops the church. If you go there, you're not going to hear complaining. If you go there, you're not going to see greed. If you go there, you're not going to hear dissatisfied people. When you go there, you're going to enter and hear thanksgiving. I want us to be the gas stations in our location. Gas standing for gratitude, appreciation, stations. I want us to be that in our community. Let's be the gratitude appreciation station for our community, for our neighbors, for those in our workplace, that they know when they pull onto the forecourt of your life and mine, they are going to go away with a full tank of thanks. That they're going to know that whatever we are pumping out, it will be pumping out with gratitude and it will be pumping out with thanksgiving. It sounds simple, church, but I know it's a challenge. It's a challenge for all of us. But what we model, our children model, and their children will model. And I just believe this is a time like never before where we need to flood our communities, flood our homes, flood our lives with gratitude. And I want us this month to take this word seriously. How can you say thank you? How can you express it to a whole nother level in your home and then beyond your home and to those of the lives around you? That's our commitment over this whole month, that we want to say thank you. And church, this week, we want to say thank you to you. We want to actually just end today by saying thank you to you, to our church, to Life Church, whatever campus you join us on today. We want to let you know that we say thank you to you. You know, Paul wrote this in 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3. He said, you need to know, friends, that I'm thanking God over and over for you. It's not only a pleasure, it's a must. We have to do it. Your faith is growing phenomenally. Your love for each other is developing wonderfully. Why? It's only right that we give thanks. We're so proud of you. You're so steady and determined in your faith. Despite all the hard times that have come down on you, we tell everyone we meet all about you. I feel exactly how Paul must have felt when he wrote that letter. We want you, church, to know that as your leaders, that we say thank you to you. Thank you, like Paul wrote, for your phenomenal faith. Thank you for your love and the way that you love one another. Thank you for standing steady in times where things have not been steady. Thank you, church. Thank you for your commitment to keep giving, keep worshiping, keep serving, keep loving. You are phenomenal.
Hey, thank you so much for watching. We pray to God that you've been impacted by how great God's word is, by how great God's plan is for your life. But I do want to say, if you need prayer for anything, then drop us a line, drop us an email. We would love to hear from you so that we can pray for you and just continue on this journey of building life together. Have a great week, month, year ahead.